Amen. Wanda, would you read Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter, verses 6 and 7?
I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me.
In verse 6, it says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out. You know, each one of us begins our journey with the Lord. There's a Pharaoh involved, just as it was with Israel in Egypt. A slave driver, so to speak, and a slave. And as much as we long for freedom, we also don't like the idea of a foreign God who asks us to submit to his authority. We want freedom without conditions. That's the American way, isn't it? That's the Western way, is to have freedom without conditions. Unconditional freedom is a myth. It's something that ain't going to happen. Excuse my language. You know, Jesus knew it all too well. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 24, Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. But to be brought out of the land of bondage, and you know, praise God that God set us free. He came, sent his son to redeem us so that we could go out, get out of the land of bondage, a bondage to what the world has put upon us. But it's not set out to be brought out of bondage, is not to be set free to serve ourselves. It's to be released to serve another God, the God of Israel. You know, this verse 6 is the verse, it's an introduction of way of the ways of the new master. To be what follows in these scriptures in Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter, is the covenant code, the rules that govern slave behavior in the kingdom of God. We're all a slave. You know, Paul said that he was a slave to the Lord Jesus. Amen. And in actuality, I know we don't like to think that, but we belong to him. When Jesus set us free and brought us out, we belong to him. Amen? There is no covenant. There is no covenant without rules. There's no free men in God's kingdom. All of these covenant rules begin with a reminder. I am the Lord who brought you out. Rescue entails ownership. Now, I know some of us Americans don't like to think that way. Amen? But now we belong to a new Lord, a gracious God, a loving God, someone that's looking out for your best interest. Now we serve a new overlord. You need to read in Deuteronomy and Exodus, the story of God setting and bringing Israel out of Egypt. They were slaves. They were beat. They had terrible taskmasters. But now we have a new overlord who acted first with love. The covenant exists because God loves us. And we are and should be eternal grateful. Yes. Amen? In verse 7, it says, "You shall have no other gods before me." But if you read that verse in the Hebrew, it begins with the no. The verse really reads, "Not shall have you have other gods." In other words, no, you shall not have other gods. The first word of the first commandment sets the tone for all the rest of the covenant. The first word of the first commandment sets the tone for the rest. Nothing is to take the place of the Lord. No other thing. No other relationship. No other service. No worship. No other overlord is to command more fidelity or more obedience than the Lord. This God, the God who brought you out, is the only exclusive master of our lives. And we say, oh, we acknowledge this. We all claim that God is first in our lives. Amen? We can't imagine worshiping some idol or serving some other false god. At least that's the way we say it. But when it comes to critical examination of our loyalties, things look a little different. The point of a covenant relationship is not the acknowledgement of the words, but the fulfillment of the acts. God doesn't put a lot of stock in what I say. He looks at what I do. We're great people. We're talking big talk. Yeah, we can all talk the talk. Amen? But can we do the do? In other words, you can't just tell your spouse that you love them. You got to show them that you love them. Amen? It gets some attention both ways. I didn't say wives or husbands. I said spouses, you know. Yeah, it's because I love you. Now you're going to have to explain that deal. Where's the microphone? And she's opened her mouth. Now she's going to have to explain what she says. Go get. I brought her a rock.
For years, he has made fun of Marty. That's Dr. Haspian and I, because we hunt for fossils at the range. And I could not believe it when he arrived in his little airplane and had brought me a rock all the way from the ranch that he found on top of one of the hills when he was repairing a fence line. And it made me feel like he loved me.
Well, what did it have in the rock?
Fossils.
It had fossils in it. You know, that amazes me. I mean, here's rocks from the time of the flood, you know. And anyway, let's don't get into that. But anyway, see, I did show that I love her. So praise God. Woo! Let's do a little self-check. Since God is my overlord, all that I have is His. Right? That means that I gladly and without remorse make all my possessions available to His service whenever He asks us. So the first test of fidelity is this. Is there anything, any possession or relationship that I'm holding back from Him? The second test is similar. God is interested in obedience. Ew, we don't like that word. He has given us the handbook for living that is pleasing to Him. Here it is, the handbook. Am I making all of my life choices on the basis of His point of view? Sometimes we've got to stop and we've got to think about that. Am I making my life choices from His point of view? Am I asking Him? Am I studying the Word? Am I understanding that? God is the Lord of time. Every moment belongs to Him. Praise God that He graciously loans us some of those time. Am I so conscious of His hand on my existence that every breath I take is a blessing to Him? Or do I take little vacations from God and do my own thing? You know, there's things that can trip us up. Money, power, can trip us up. You know, I can be legally righteous and not practice the spirit of the covenant that God has given us, that loves us. You know, it's a simple little statement, but if we aren't aware of God's presence, if we're not aware of God's presence, maybe we need to have a little priority examination. When we set Him first, we're going to be aware of His presence. You know, sometimes I wake up early in the mornings. He has a way of waking some of us up early in the morning. And praying, and then it reminds me, I didn't feel the presence of God yesterday. I didn't feel His presence. I didn't acknowledge Him in what I was doing. Well, you didn't think your pastor did those things too, did you? But that's what happens. Sometimes, in other words, if we're not aware of God's presence, maybe we need to examine. We need to have a priority examination. And then it says in verse 7, Deuteronomy 5, verse 7, it says, "You shall have no other gods before me," or besides me, the Amplified says. "You shall have no other gods besides me." This is the first word of the Ten Commandments. The first word is all about loyalty and being exclusive. The general meaning is quite clear. It is a combination that you could mean besides me or above me or in preference of me. What is clear is this: God will not share His glory with any rival. That's what it says in Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, verse 8. "I'm the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I'll not give to another, nor my praise to a graven image." You know, that was spoken in Deuteronomy. It was spoken to a group of people who had just come out of a culture where men, beasts, objects, all represented gods. Egypt was all about this god, that god, that god, and Pharaoh said he was a god. So this was a strong declaration. It says that you shall have no other gods before me. In the Hebrew Bible, or in the Bible, it said we are presenting oneself. We're to present ourselves in an audience with the king. To stand before the face of God is to account for one's attitude and actions in the presence of the Holy One of Israel. In reality, this commandment implies that God will determine where our true loyalty lies in a face-to-face examination. You know, I sometimes get in awe of the thinking that we can stand face-to-face with God in His glory. Wow. I mean, it's, you know, sometimes it just, I get to thinking about that, and that would be, you know, we say, well, we're in the presence of God and everything, but can you just imagine standing in the presence of the Creator of all the earth, the everlasting Father, the one that loves you without conditions? Can you imagine that? It kind of boggles my little pea brain sometimes to think of that. He asks us what we've done to demonstrate this absolute loyalty that we have to Him. He asks you to give an account for your actions. Do they exhibit fidelity to Him? Or do they just point obedience to His rivals? You know, all men have gods. It's the nature of man to serve some higher power, whether that be a person, a cause, or a dream. Did you know you can make a person above God? You can make a cause. You can serve that cause above Him. Or a dream. Have you ever had a dream about you want to do this and you want to be this and you want to do that, and that just, that's the thing that just possesses you? That's the most important thing in your life, is that dream. You know what you've just done? You've made that dream your God. Ouch. I mean, I know pastors that dream of all these big things they're going to do for the Lord, and they get possessed by that dream, and it becomes a God to them. And don't let anybody touch it. You know, in the final analysis of life, we talk about that there's atheists, but there's really no atheist. Everybody serves some kind of God. There are only those who refuse to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God who brings you out. Praise God. Everyone here has been brought out of bondage. Amen? So the first word commands, you shall have no clarity of devotion. Any substitution in public or private worship violates this commitment and denies the essential worthiness of the character of God Himself. This is the basis of all morality. For either I live according to the character of God, or I do not. And we look at our nation today. We've talked about it. We look at our nation today. The morals of our nation have gone. Amen? Why? Because we're not serving the Lord. We've got a nation that only serves. Well, I better not name all the things that it serves. But we need to look, we need to know, we need to be praying, we need to be seeking that I live according to the character of God. Therefore, every one of my actions can be measured according to His character. When I have no other gods, there's nothing in my life that points away from His holy being. The question is, where do your actions point? And I have to confess, we need to be honest with ourselves. There's times when our actions point to serving something else. Amen? I mean, we can say, oh, no, I'm a Christian. I still believe God and all these other things. But what do our actions show? Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter, verse 7, you shall have no other gods besides me. People almost always do what they believe is the best in their best interest. You know, when God sees how many of us act in opposition to His will, I could just see Him shaking His head in dismay. What this means is that most people do not believe that according to God's rules will really be in their best interest. They think that rules inhibit their freedom. They want what they want when they want it. You know some of those people? Sometimes we start pointing fingers and how many we got looking back at us. But God knows just how foolish all of this is. The interest they serve is really a damning curse. Remember a couple weeks ago, I guess the last time I was here, we talked about in Jeremiah the 11th chapter. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed is the man who does not obey the words of this covenant, which I command your father in the day I brought them out. What comes to our mind when we think of cursed? It's not the voodoo deals and the spells and all of that. When God says that not obeying Him will result in a curse, He doesn't mean that He's going to do some magical potion, or utter an incantation over us. God is warning us about the inevitable, built-in consequences. How does this work? The Hebrew word for curse has the idea behind it that is binding, hedging in with obstacles, and rendering powerless. In other words, the natural result of disobedience. We talked about it on Sunday. The natural result of disobedience is to make things not work the way they were supposed to work. That's what happened with Adam. When he sinned in the garden, The land still grew stuff, amen? It still produced fruit, but he had to sweat. He had to work at it. He had to make it happen because the land, it says, was cursed. Disobedience renders life powerless. God doesn't have to put a spell on you or do something to you. Sin has powerlessness built into it. God doesn't have to do something to you. You sin, it's coming, buddy. You know, sometimes I ask, why isn't God willing to let us just have just a few other masters? Why is he so interested that we serve and worship only him? It's not because he's greedy for our attention or because he is simply a demanding tyrant. God wants us to make him our exclusive sovereign because it is in our best interest to do so. Wow. He's looking out for you and me. He wants the best for each one of us. Amen? He wants the best for us. There was a saying that the enemy of the best is the good. Just having the good takes away from the best. Most of us would settle for the good life instead of what God wants for us. Amen? Why is that? Why is that? It's because we actually think we know what is better for us without God's input. We think we're perfectly capable of effectively managing our lives. Basically, when we wake up in the mornings, I don't know why I always start everything with waking up in the morning. Sometimes it's going to bed at night, but it's anyway. Say, God, what do you want me to do today? I want to be doing what you want me to be doing. Lead me and guide me. He might have told you that before you went to sleep, what you were going to be doing. Amen? Sometimes we know what we're supposed to be, but we're supposed to have him in our thoughts. We're supposed to have him. He's the only God we serve. He's the only one we serve. We think so many times that we're perfectly capable of effectively managing our lives. And it took me some hard knocks to figure out through the years that I can't manage my life. I have to listen to him. Amen? You know, God shakes his head at our foolishness. It's like the blind leading the blind. Just let time pass and then ask yourselves, how's that working out for you? How's whatever you thought was the greatest thing since ice cream working out for you? How do you think it is? And if we're really honest, we'll soon admit that things didn't turn out quite as we had hoped so. No matter how successful, you know, we might be successful in the eyes of other people, but maybe it wasn't turning out just like I thought it should. The good news is God knows. God is capable of bringing about your best life now. Praise God. He's capable of doing that. This is, in fact, That's his intended purpose, is to bring about your best life now. It might not be the kind of life that you thought was good. I mean, I've talked to people sometimes and they say, well, that's not what I said. Look, what does God want you to do? What does God say about something? Here, start reading the Word and pray and read the Word and see what he says. He said, don't serve other gods. I guarantee you, if we just stop and we think about it, not think about it, we just let God bring us about whatever God brings into your life, what he does will be the life that best prepares you to serve and worship him. To serve and worship him. We're to reject other gods because we want the best. We want the best for our life. We want the best. And the best is what God says. Amen? We serve the King because we want what he offers more than what others offer. And really the supreme self-interest is to have perfect alignment with God's will. Have perfect alignment with him. Praise God. And that, you know, it's one of these things that I think that we need to be praying diligently, praying all the time, that this would come about in our whole nation. That everybody would want to serve and have no other God but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Amen. When we do that, wow, what an awesome country this would be again. Amen? Amen. And sometimes we think, that's impossible. I mean, I've come to me, God, that's impossible for that to happen. He said, it started out that way. Why can't it end up that way? Part of the responsibility that we have is praying. Amen. Praying. Amen. that would happen. And sometimes I get to say, well, God, what happens if I pray this and pray that and things start looking like they're going to hell in a handbasket? He said, well, let it go. Excuse my language, you know. But sometimes, what happened in 9/11? When they bombed, the airplanes went into Twin Towers. How many people were going to church for 3 weeks? They were all full. I certainly don't want another Twin Tower. But we need to pray that God will wake up everybody. God will wake them up. Amen? Well, Father, we thank you and we magnify you. Lord, we just ask that you, the Holy Spirit, makes us aware that there will be no other gods besides you in our lives. Lord, we thank you and we magnify you. Lord, I just speak a blessing. Speak a blessing over each one here this morning. And we thank you for that and we magnify you. And Lord, we send forth words of healing to Ruth. We thank you for touching her and healing her. Thank you, Jesus. One thing I knew there was something I wanted to share. We saw Ruth yesterday, and she said, tell everyone in the congregation, how appreciative she is of our prayers. She was doing better. She's still at the rest home. I don't know what the name of that the rest home. You remember, Marge, what's the name of that?
Mission Nursing.
Huh? Yeah, okay. Anyway, if you get a chance sometime, go by, see her. And anyway, she was looking better, and she's so thankful for the congregation. She said, "I'll be so glad when I can get out of this bed and come back to church." Amen. I said, "We'll be so glad too."
I told her where we're saving a chair for her.
Yeah, we got it. Amen. Well, it's in my office, but we'll get it back. Praise God. Yes. Amen. You were even doing the worship leading? Praise God. Well, I thank David. Amen.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower.